بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you, Dennis, for your beautiful presentation. And I think that was a very, very important subject that we need to deal with also. I have touched upon that subject numerous times so far. How cautious we have to be, how cautious our brothers and sisters have to be once dealing with the internet. And inshallah, we will have a specific session to deal with the subject and to touch upon that very important problem that you just mentioned, inshallah. But thank you anyway for your beautiful presentation. And I even give a simple advice to my dear brothers and sisters, that it is not only haram to download music because it belongs to someone else and you are violating their rights. I say it is even haram to listen to music. Why I would even download the music? Why I would take that route? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had offered me many other solutions to enjoy myself in this life. Why I should take that route? Why I should go and listen to the music, especially this poppy music that is so suggestive, so immoral? And I would really, really caution you, my dear brothers and sisters, that once you are on the internet, you have to be very selective. I was very impressed this last Ashura. I was very impressed that there have been a few new websites that were offering you worldly lectures on Imam Hussein alayhi salam from different points of globe, from England to the United States, to Dubai, to Australia. Many English speakers were speaking on the internet, and their lectures were broadcast every night at the internet. Something that made it so easy for our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world to catch on the lectures during the nights of Ashura, even if they had they did not have the advantage of going somewhere in their area. Sayyid Haider's lectures were on the internet. Sayyid Hussein, my brother, brother Hassanin Rajab Ali, Sayyid Hussein Mudarisi. There were probably 10, 12 English speakers who were speaking on Ashura in the internet. And instead of going to a website and listening to the music, why don't I go and take advantage of the abundance knowledge out there in the internet, where I can increase my knowledge on Islam? So, inshallah, we will take this in consideration in the future. I don't want to take much of your time. I know we don't have much time, but as you may know, that the presentation tonight will be on rights of dead. What rights dead have, deceased have in Islam? Obviously, Islam is a very, very progressive, comprehensive lifestyle. It is more than a religion. It is a lifestyle that starts with you from even before the moment you were born, and it continues with you even after you die. And there are certain laws, regulations pertaining to our lifestyle even after we die. One thing we have to understand, that the most sacred object in this world, in Allah's view and in Islam's view, is what? It is not the wealth, the abundance wealth out there. It is nothing but this human being. The most sacred being in this world is the human being himself. And that is something that inshallah I will talk about in some other nights. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this land, this earth, with all its resources, just to serve us, just to make our life easier for our survival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes everything ready, available for us so we can enjoy our life, so we can concentrate on our mission, which is to serve Allah on earth. So, the human being is the most sacred being in this life, in this world. And that's why the human being enjoys a great deal of dignity and respect. And that's why when a person dies, we still view his body and view him with much respect. And we have to deal with his body with so much dignity and respect. That's why autopsy in Islam is haram. Some people say, what? Autopsy is haram? Islam is a very progressive religion. Why it bans autopsy? Why autopsy is haram in Islam? You know what autopsy means? Autopsy means disfiguration of the human body. If it happens one day that you go to the funeral home and you see those who have been undergone an autopsy, you see that their body is totally disfigured. A scene that you never like to see. Ask Hajj Eid Alawan. He will tell you. Ask those who wash the dead body. That when someone goes under autopsy, the whole body is disfigured. You really don't wish for his mother or his father to see that scene. The body, you know, in this country, if someone dies in a relatively young age with no specific or known reason, the person must go under autopsy. Sometimes a young man dies and they take his body to the autopsy, and then when they bring the body, you see that young person or a young sister. I remember a young sister passed away a few years ago from a very respected family in our community. And she was a newlywed, probably 18-year-old girl, who was just got married a few months before her death. And she died. And the government insisted that the state had to conduct autopsy on her body. And the one who washed the body told me that her body was so disfigured that I feared her mother or her father would come in and see that view. So they didn't, fortunately. Now, autopsy, of course, in certain cases are allowable because of the medical needs, the medical students who are pursuing their medical education. Our scholars believe that it is permissible for them to conduct autopsy because now we have a higher goal. Our goal, their goal, is not to disfigure the body, rather to learn. But for other than that, Islam says no for autopsy. Why? He is dead. Yes, he is dead, but he has sanctity. His body has dignity. And you have no permission to violate his dignity, even if he is dead. Islam wants us to treat each other in a very humane way, not in a very brutal way. And you know something? Especially those who conduct autopsy, because of the repetition of the business they do, the job they do, they have no regard anymore for the body. When they treat the body, when they conduct autopsy, they treat it like it's animal body. It doesn't mean anything for them. Islam is very, very, very concerned about how we treat each other. One of the careers that are not so recommended in Islam is to be a butcher. Why? Why it's not so recommended to be a butcher? Because the butcher has less mercy for the animal he is killing than you and I have. Because of the repetition of the work, he repeats doing this job every day. He kills an animal. Fellas, it's not a big deal for him anymore. It has to do with my passion and my compassion and my mercy. I will be less merciful once I get used to this job. So the hadith from the Prophet says, حُرْمَةُ الْمُسْلِمِ مَيِّتًا كُحُرْمَتِهِ حَيًّا. A Muslim has same dignity dead as he is alive. As you have to respect a Muslim when he's alive, you cannot step on his toes, you can't kill him, you cannot violate or intervene in his privacy. Each Muslim, each individual has certain rights. Those rights are protected even after death. Therefore, you cannot hurt a dead body. That's why in Islam, cremation is haram. One day I asked John Santu, the one who has the funeral home and he mainly deals with the Muslim funerals, I asked him, what is the percentage of people in your funeral home who ask you to cremate the body of their deceased? What is the percentage, you think? It's amazing. Can you give any figure? 60%. 60% of people die with John Santu are cremated. 60%. 60%. That means he says he has an average 600 people in his funeral home. He deals with an average 600 people. That would be somewhere between probably 400, 450 people are cremated every year in one funeral home, not alone, other funeral homes in this country. Why? You know why they cremate? Can you guess why they cremate the dead? Think about it. It's greed, because it's less costly. To cremate the dead is less costly in this country than if you bury him, because the burial may cost probably somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000. If you cremate, you will pay half of this price. So it all goes back to this materialistic mentality that is so prevalent in this society. It's all about money. Let me cremate my father, my mother, so I make less, I spend less money. You know, I had a friend who visited Australia a couple years ago, in the 80s. When he came back, he was telling me a very amazing story. He says he went to the cemeteries in Australia, and he says, it sounds funny, but it's really painful. He says, they sell two kind of graves, and they differ in their price. One is the horizontal graves, the one we have in the cemeteries, where the deceased is buried while he is laying down. Now there is another one where the deceased is buried vertically, he's standing. Why? Because by doing so, they will purchase a smaller grave, a smaller space. So instead of putting and laying the casket on a horizontal position, they just place them in the vertical, so it doesn't take so much time. This haram al-mshahhar, the deceased has to stand till the day of judgment on his feet. Why? Because you're paying less money by buying such a grave. It all goes back to greed, to money. And it is all the influence of materialistic societies. That when everything is about money, dollar, there is no place for values at all. No place for morality at all. All I think, how much it cost me. How much? You heard about this new scandal coming out of the Los Angeles Medical School. One of the most prestigious medical schools in this country and probably in the world have been involved in what is called, what is the term in English? The selling the the dead body. People give their, donate their parts for research, and those people who are entrusted by those organs are selling them in the what is called the black market. They sell those bodies, those organs, to people who are looking for kidney or liver or whatever. Unfortunately, this is how it is in those very sophisticated societies. But Islam says you must protect and preserve the dignity of the deceased. That's why once he dies, there is no cremation. You have to wash. I will come to your questions, inshallah, later on. You have to wash the body. Now, look how great our religion is. What is Hajj Eid? I think Hajj Eid should share with us some of his stories when he goes to the funeral homes. You know, when you go to the funeral home, you get some amazing, you hear some amazing stories. You know, in this country, if you're not a Muslim, they take the body to the funeral home, and if he is not supposed to be cremated, he is washed, and after that they make him wear his best suit, the most expensive suit, and his most expensive watch, and they put a makeup on his face. Now, why they are doing this? I mean, see, you go to the extreme. Some people cremate the body, and some people make him wear his beautiful suit, his beautiful watch, and they put makeup. Islam takes the moderate path. Islam says you cannot cremate the body, yet you respect it, but be simple. That's why you buy shroud. And why shroud? See the beauty of Islam here. On earth, when we were walking on earth, we chose different clothes, expressing our social and economic status. If you're more wealthy in this country or in this world, you can buy better clothes. And you can tell this man is wealthy because of the way he's dressed. And this man is a lawyer. This one is a religious leader for the way we're dressed. But on the grave, we are all equal. We all will look equal. Whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you're needy or you're a king, all people will be wrapped up with a piece of fabric called shroud. This is the beauty of death. It equates between all people. There is no social status distinguished at all. You are stripped out of your social or your economic status. You go with your body after it is being washed and wrapped up in a fabric, piece of fabric called kafan. There is a very telling story. I mentioned this story a few days ago in the funerals we have had in the Islamic Center. And it says there was a guy who pretended to be insane, but he wasn't insane at all. He was a very wise person. His name is Bahlul. Bahlul was contemporary to a very tyrant dictator and ruler. His name is Harun al-Rashid. Probably you have heard him. He probably ruled during the, I think, 9th century. And he ruled for 22 years. He was the caliph of the Muslim state. This man, Harun, was so arrogant that he used to address the cloud. He would say, because his state he was ruling was so vast that it stretches from China all the way to the east to Morocco, from north from Russia all the way to Yemen. So huge country he was ruling. He was so arrogant that sometimes he would address the cloud. He says, "Sharriqi aw gharibi, go west or go east, you will absolutely reign in my territory, in my kingdom. And then the corp will come to me. I will enjoy the revenues." How arrogant he was, that he would address the cloud as he is giving them orders. He was so arrogant. I can tell you many stories about how arrogant, how tyrant, how selfish this man was. You know, you may not believe this, but this has been documented. This man owned 4,000 female slaves in his palace. And you know, that means he can treat any of them like his wife. 4,000 female slaves. Now, if you want to spend one night with each one of those, how many years each one of them needs to wait for her turn? Probably 12 years, I think. He has 4,000 female slaves in his harem. You have heard about this term, harem, the harem? It was created during the Abbasi dynasty. Anyways, this man, Harun, was walking by a cemetery. He saw Bahlul inside the cemetery playing with the bones of few dead. So Harun called upon Bahlul. Bahlul, as I said, he pretended to be insane. He wasn't insane. He pretended to be insane to protect himself. He called upon him, Bahlul, what are you doing with the bones of the dead? Leave them alone. Why you are playing with their bones? Bahlul answered beautifully. He says, you know, Your Majesty, I came to the cemetery to probe the bones of the deceased, to see if there is any difference between the bones of the kings and the bones of ordinary citizens. I was astonished to find there is no difference at all. They all deteriorated. They all deteriorated. They all decayed. Meaning, you, Mr. King, you will be brought here soon. And your bone and flesh will decay. Your flesh will turn into a rich meal for millions of worms, and your bone will deteriorate in this grave. So my point is, this is how death equates between all people, rich, poor, everybody must be taken to the same place, must be wrapped up with the same fabric, the same shroud. In Islam, we believe that a Muslim should be buried in a grave facing the Kaaba. Why is that? Why is that? I quote an ayah from Quran, and I want you please to give your attention to that. Allah says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet of Ibrahim, Allah says, قُلْ سَيْ أَنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My prayers, my rituals, my life and my death, all dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim should dedicate his life and his death to Allah. In your lifetime, you dedicate all your times, your thoughts for Allah. After death, your body should be facing the Kaaba. This is how we dedicate our life and our death to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And bear in mind that the deceased would feel, would sense, probably this needs another lecture, one day I have to speak about it, that when a person dies, even though that you're seeing him, you're watching his body silent, quiet, motionless, but this person hears what you're saying. He knows what's going on. He feels what's going on. Inshallah, in some other time, probably in some other night, I will speak about that. He knows. That's why when we take the body to the, probably some of you, how many of you have been to a cemetery? Okay, mashallah, the majority of you. When we take the body to the cemetery, there would be a sayyid or a sheikh who goes near the grave and does talqeen. What talqeen means? Have you ever thought about it? Why someone comes near his ears and whisper a few words in it? If he doesn't understand, if he doesn't know anything, well, I'm wasting my time. Why am I doing this? He goes to him and he says, or the deceased, and he mentions his name, and he says, إِذَا أَتَاكَ الْمَلَكَانَ الْمُقَرَّبَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَوَسَأَلَاكَ عَنْ دِينِكَ وَعَنْ نَبِيِّكَ وَعَنْ إِمَامِكَ وَعَنْ كِتَابِكَ فَلَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَقُلْ فِي جَوَابِهِمَا اللَّهُ رَبِّي مُحَمَّدُ النَّبِيِّ الْقُرْآنُ كِتَابِي الْإِسْلَامُ دِينِي عَلِيٌّ إِمَامِي الْحَسَنُ إِمَامِي الْحُسَيْنُ إِمَامِي. You go all the way to Imam al-Mahdi. You say to him that if the two angels approach you, Mr. So-and-so, you mention his name, and they ask you about your Lord, about your book, about your prophets, about your faith, about your imams, don't panic. Don't panic. Will he panic? Yes, of course. Will we panic? Of course we'll panic. No matter how faithful, how good you are. I'm not trying to scare you here, by the way, believe me. But this is the reality. When someone leaves this life, he will panic because it's something new. Totally new for us. It's the first day we're there. We don't know what will happen to us. We don't know how they will judge us. When the two angels will come to us, they will ask us. We don't know. We don't know nothing. We don't know what the outcome will be. We're waiting, we're hoping for Allah's mercy, but we never know what the outcome will be. So we're giving him, we're comforting him. We're comforting the dead. We tell him, don't panic. And answer them. Say to them, Allah is my Lord. The Kaaba is my Qibla, my direction. Quran is my book. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is my prophet. And then you list the imams. Why you're saying this? Because at that time, by that time, when the angels come to him, the two angels come to him or to her, because of the panic that he experiences, he may forget the answer. That's why you go and help him to remember the answers. You do talqeen. Talqeen means rehearsal. Talqeen means the rehearsal. You're teaching him what to say in a few minutes when he is going to be asked. So that is one of the rites. Before he dies, you must direct him to the Qibla. Before he dies, as the person dying, you must direct the person to the Qibla. You tell him that to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I remind you, I mentioned this hadith a couple months ago. There is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. A person whose last word is la ilaha illallah would absolutely enter heaven. This is good news for you. Now, when we say, you say La ilaha illallah, you should mean it. You should not only utter it with your tongue without knowing. You really should believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, when the hadith says he enters heaven, that doesn't mean he won't experience any trouble after death. Because entering heaven will occur when? After the day of judgment. So between death and the day of judgment, there is a long, long, long period. It's called purgatory. Inshallah, another night, we may talk about the purgatory, the barzakh. The transitional period separating death and the day of judgment. It could take as many as a million years. God knows when the day of judgment will be. So a person may face trouble in this. Allah may purify people in this period. So once they are resurrected for the day of judgment, they could be clear. My last comment, my dear brothers and sisters. Today, I was thinking that last week and this week, we had 6 janazah at the Islamic Center. 6 people died last week and this week. 6 people. Their ages vary from 17-year-old, that young brother, Fadi Shaitu, who was 17-year-old, and all the way to probably 60 and 70. I have been at the Islamic Center for now over 7 years. And there is an average 1-2 janazah every week, every 2 weeks. And I have seen many people coming. And when sometime I ask about the reason why this person died, the reason is known to the majority of people. But sometimes nobody knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the inner family. And sometimes they confide me. Why this person? A while ago, a person died. And I found out that the reason he died from is, I want to warn you. I really want to warn you. Because I am really not sure if this would not happen again in the future. That the person was addicted. He took an extra dosage of drug, wal-iyadu billah, and he died. And he was young, relatively young. And my conclusion is this, that my dear brothers and sisters, this is a very, very dangerous route. I know our subject for tonight was the right of death. And I would like to speak another night about the dangers of addiction and the drug abuse. We need to speak about that more than one session. But I really, really want to warn you that one small step that a young man or a young woman, and specifically in most cases a young man, one innocent step a young man, a 16, 17, 18 year old boy takes, and it ends in a grave. Sometime he may end up in rehabilitation centers. Sometime he might be found in somewhere in a park or somewhere. Sometime he or she loses their mind. They lose their mind. They literally become insane. I have seen some of them, unfortunately. I have seen them with my own eyes because of the influence of the drug. He's insane now. It is a very dangerous thing, my dear brothers and sisters. I have been told that this has become so common in our community. In public schools, it has become so common that kids take it, and they take it slightly. It's not a big deal. President Clinton took it also when he was a student. X took it, Y took it, Z took it. Be careful. Be careful. You may say, it's not a big deal. It's only marijuana. It's not so big deal. But then after marijuana, what he will take? He will take the other one, which is more, what's it called? Huh? Heroin. Okay, alhamdulillah. You know. Okay. I hope you're not doing that. He takes heroin. What is after heroin? Huh? Right? Right. Crack. After a crack, God knows. Believe me, that's how addiction works. That's how addiction, it's addiction. And once the person is addicted, he no longer can't control himself. He would buy everything. He would give everything. I have someone comes to the Islamic Center, I know his family, and he asked me for money. A couple of times I gave him money. $10. He insists to take $20. One day his mother called me. She says, Maulana, please don't give my son money. I said, why? Don't give him any cash. Why? She told me that he takes the money and he goes and buys drug with it. And we've not been giving him money because of this situation. Because once he's addicted, he would do everything. He begs for cash. He steals cash. He steals cash. He would do everything to get the needed cash in order to get his dosage. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, be very careful. Don't go near this dangerous object. Don't even think about it. Don't even think to try it. Sometime, out of foolishness, naiveness, our kids take it. Let's try it. And you know, there are certain situations that may encourage someone to take it. One is depression. When people are in depression, they are very much exposed to it. They may take to reduce the level of their depression. The other situation when they are surrounded with bad friends, bad peers who have negative influence on them, who tell them, take it, it's not a big deal. Just try it. It's not a big deal. He tries it and he is hooked. and no way for him to get out of this entanglement. So be careful. Believe me, it is such a devastating scene to see a young man brought to the jami' and you find out that the reason he died because he was taking drugs. Unfortunately, what do we get? What do we get? You come to this country in order to build yourself for life opportunity, you end up in a grave in young age. So please be careful. Also be careful with yourself when you drive. This resulted many times so far in catastrophic tragedies in our community. When you drive, please be careful. I was asked, if I'm supposed to die, I will die whether I drive fast or not. No, that's a wrong thing. اعقل وتوكل. Protect yourself and then you leave things in the hands of Allah. You cannot endanger your life and cause your death and you say, well, it was about time for me to die. No. You have to be always cautious. And you have to do everything possible to protect your life. May Allah bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.